Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. A very Merry Christmas to all of you here, and a very blessed festival of St. Stephen also. It's because of St. Stephen's Day and the celebration of it that we have red on the altar and the pulpit and the pastor today instead of the white of the Christmas season. We've only celebrated St. Stephen's Day, the first martyr here at Emmanuel, for a few times over these last 15 years that I've been here. And maybe you're still wondering, what does martyrdom have to do with Christmas? Why does it fall on the very next day after Christmas? What does red have to do with white? It's very simple, really. White is the color of holiness and purity, and therefore it's always the color used for Christ and for Christmas, which celebrates his birth, while red is the color of blood. And we use it in the church to symbolize the shedding of a person's blood to the point of death, and not just any death, but the death of one who died for his testimony about Christ, who was born at Christmas. That's what red has to do with white. What martyrdom has to do with Christmas. We rejoice at Jesus' birth. We sing praise to God for sending his Son into human flesh and having him born in Bethlehem. But we never, even for a moment, lose sight of the fact that Christmas has consequences. And no one exemplifies those consequences better for us than St. Stephen. What does a person do who believes that the Word, Hologos, as we said on Christmas Eve, became flesh and made his dwelling among us? In other words, what does a person do who believes that Christmas is true? Well, a person does as Stephen did. Stephen devoted himself to the apostles' teaching and to the breaking of bread and to the prayers and to the fellowship after the day of Pentecost. Stephen had his Old Testament faith confirmed in the Messiah, in Jesus the Christ, who came and fulfilled every prophecy that God had given to his Old Testament people Israel. Stephen then became a Christian seamlessly from the Jewish faith to the Christian faith, which was the fulfillment of the Christian faith. And Acts tells us that Stephen was a man full of faith and power, full of wisdom and the Holy Spirit. He was one of seven devout men who were ordained into the office of deacon. Seven men ordained early on in the book of Acts to assist the apostles in the distribution of food to the believing widows there at the church in Jerusalem. So Stephen's vocation was no longer that of a layman. Stephen was ordained into that diaconate, or the office of deacon, and he, along with those other six men, surely helped the apostles in that distribution of food, but he also preached. He also did the work of an evangelist as he went into the temple in Jerusalem and preached the word of God to the Jews who were there. As a consequence of his faith in the Christ, born in Bethlehem, Stephen spoke publicly to everyone as he had opportunity. He spoke of Christ as the fulfillment of the Old Testament law. He spoke of faith in Christ as that alone which saves, not any work, neither the works of the ceremonial law of the Old Testament nor the works of the moral law. But just as Herod persecuted the babies of Bethlehem who dared to be born at the time of Christmas, the Jews in Jerusalem persecuted Stephen for confessing Christ. They challenged his witness of Christ. He's speaking against the temple. He's speaking against Moses. He's condemning good works. Well, none of that was actually true. The Jews were perverting Stephen's message. People pervert our message in the same way today. Those Lutherans say that a person is saved by faith. They forbid doing good works. Well, the first part is true. The second part is false. We don't forbid good works, neither did Stephen. Just look at all the good works Stephen did just in his preaching of the gospel and in his godly testimony to the Jews. But we do teach, as Stephen also taught, that no good works are good apart from faith in Christ, and that faith alone, apart from works, is what makes us right with God. Where there is faith in the Christ born at Christmas, there are also fruits of faith, or consequences of faith. But the fruits don't save. Christ saves through faith alone. But those Jews would have none of it. They dragged Stephen to the Sanhedrin, the Jewish council, and they falsely accused him and questioned him. We didn't read most of chapter 7. It's a long section where Stephen starts toward the very beginning with Abraham and points out to the Jewish council all that God had done for the people of Israel over the years, summarizing God's great and mighty acts of salvation for them and God's interactions with the people of Israel. And this theme kept repeating in Stephen's sermon that day. God did everything for us. He gave us every advantage, every benefit, every opportunity, and time again, our forefathers rejected the very prophets whom God sent to tell us the truth. And you, members of the Jewish High Council, are committing the same atrocities that our forefathers committed. Jesus spoke of the same things in today's gospel that you heard. From the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, son of Berechiah. To the blood of Christ himself, murdered on the cross. As a consequence of Christmas, because Stephen believed that the Word had become flesh, he had to speak up out of love for God, out of love for his countrymen, the Jews, who were steeped in sin and impenitence and unbelief, and out of love for the preaching office God had given him. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the Righteous One, of whom you now have become the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the direction of angels and have not kept it. That was Stephen's preaching. Now sometimes when people hear the hard truth about their sins, they repent of it. They realize the horrible crimes they've committed against God and are crushed with sorrow, like many of the people in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost after Peter's preaching to them. But sometimes, and I'd have to say most times, the preaching of the law produces anger. Who do you think you are? How dare you call me a sinner? How dare you judge me or question what I've done? Sometimes it produces absolute rage, as it did in the case of the Sanhedrin with Stephen. When they heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. And then, both to strengthen his servant Stephen on that day and to further enrage the Sanhedrin and to give us a glimpse of what awaits, Jesus, now seated at the right hand of God, gave Stephen a vision that assured him and us. The Son of Man, the Word made flesh, has indeed risen from the dead and is ruling over all things, even the persecution of his servants. Ruling in heaven, the same heaven that is prepared to receive you now, Stephen. So don't be afraid. And as a consequence of Christmas, Stephen wasn't afraid because the Word had become flesh, our human brother, and had taken Stephen's sins and ours to the cross and paid for them there and had opened heaven's doors to all who believe in him. Even as they dragged Stephen out and began to stone him to death, Stephen prayed two perfect little prayers. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit, and Lord, do not hold this sin against them. How could they hate Stephen so? How could they think they were serving God by stoning this man to death? That's another consequence of Christmas, as we also heard on Christmas Eve. The light came into the world, but men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. The message of Christmas, that God has come into the world as man, that man's works cannot save, that salvation is found in the man Christ Jesus alone, that message stings the pride of men. That message divides people. Jesus once told his apostles, "Do not think I have come to bring peace to the world. Not peace, but a sword." God sends prophets and teachers and wise men, and the world persecutes and mocks and sometimes kills them. It must be this way, as a consequence of Christmas, as a consequence of mankind's rejection of the one who was born in Bethlehem. The majority of the world will always be unwilling to receive the Christ of Christmas. They'll tolerate a tiny little baby and a little picture of a manger, and they'll tolerate shepherds and a few angels flying in heaven harmlessly. But they won't tolerate it when we claim that that baby is Almighty God, in whom alone is salvation. But see how confidently Stephen faced death. See what love still flowed from his lips. How could Stephen pray for those who hated him and who hated his Savior too, for those who were even then in the act of murdering him? That was a consequence of Christmas too, because Christ was not born to save good people, but the most wicked of men. The Lord Jesus also prayed for those who nailed him to the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And the grace of the Lord Jesus spilled over into the heart of Stephen, praying for the deliverance of his enemies, praying that they might be brought to repentance and faith in Christ for the forgiveness of sins before it was too late, even as he had been brought to repentance. And we know that at least one of those wicked men who were there that day approving of his death, Saul, was brought to repentance and was forgiven all his sins, including the sin of participating in Stephen's stoning. Then it says that Stephen fell asleep. What beautiful words the scripture now uses to describe the death of the saints. "I tell you the truth," Jesus once said, "if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." If we remain steadfast in the truth of Christmas, if we follow in the footsteps and the witness of Saint Stephen, then as a consequence, death becomes nothing but a sleep for us too. Don't be fooled with the rest of the world into believing that Christmas is about snowy white fields and picture postcard manger scenes. Red is mixed with white at Christmas time, as blood is mixed with snow. Christmas has consequences. And if you would celebrate Christmas rightly, then you must know the consequences and be prepared for them. Truly, Stephen shows us the consequences of Christmas, not just with his willingness to die for Christ, but with his faith, with his humble service, his love for God and for men, his patience, peace, boldness, courage, confidence in the faiths of death, knowledge of the Holy Scriptures, and mercy in the face of persecution. Those are consequences in the believer. The shedding of blood at the hands of an angry world, that is a very real consequence for the believer. If you believe the Christmas story and live your faith, if you are baptized and living according to your baptism, then you are marked for death, just as Stephen was. But you know what the name Stephen means, don't you? It's the Greek word for a victor's crown. How fitting. Be faithful until death, Jesus promises, and I will give you the crown of life. That too is a consequence of Christmas and God's gift to you who believe. A blessed feast of Saint Stephen to all of you, and a very Merry Christmas. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.